joined now by Andre Forrest. And Andre was invited to the All Climate Reality Canada Training Conference in San Francisco, California. The conference was offered by Al Gore, former Vice President of the United States. So, Andre, tell us about the conference.
It was from the 21st to the 23rd of August, so just a few weeks back. It was a pretty heavy 2.5-day conference. They packed as much as they could into those days. So our first day went till 11, the next day started at 7, and it was also a long day. But the training there was really going off of the presentation that he based his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, on. So it's seen a lot of changes since the movie was launched, but the presentation is still being given all around the world, and there are over 1,000 presenters, definitely. At our session alone, there were about 850.
So now, this presentation was to help the people that were there facilitate their own presentations to spread the word and to help create change.
Yeah, so it's getting other people, and it's really people from all walks of life. There were some students, but a lot of people were just kind of not necessarily in the environmental field at all, but just saw climate change as an issue that people need to know about and understand. And in the States, there's quite a different problem because they deal with a lot of denial and how to deal with deniers, and that's kind of an issue the rest of the world doesn't face as much. And so because of that huge power of people trying to make others think that climate change isn't happening, there needs to be kind of a concerted effort to fight that and to spread the truth about what's going on.
Well, I feel like there might be a little bit of denial here in Canada as well. Do you feel the same way?
I think there is, and we've seen what our government has done to try and thwart the efforts of environmental groups and kind of regulation and dropping out of the Kyoto Protocol. But I think that within the population, it's a bit different than in the States. So there's definitely that pressure to say it's not that big a deal, but I feel like there's more of a, okay, it's happening, but it's not that big a deal, we're not doing that bad kind of effort here.
So here at the university, you mentioned in the press release that the university's goal is to respect the Kyoto targets here. So now, how is the university measuring our impact at the university on the climate?
Well, there are... we just approved earlier this year the sustainability kind of report or action plan for the next few years. And in that, there's a number of different kind of columns that assess different environmental issues, and many of those have to do with greenhouse gas emissions. So the first step in what Mark Birch started, who was the manager of the campus sustainability office, and now it's Alana Lajoie O'Malley, is to really develop those tracking processes so that we could measure and see how we've improved from years past. And so there's a great number of categories, including the energy we use to heat the buildings, the greenhouse gas emissions that come from professors traveling for their work, that kind of thing. So there's a whole bunch of things that we need to measure, and that's what we're doing.
So after everything's measured, what sort of steps are we taking to lower our impact?
Well, definitely with all the new buildings that we're building, though they have a huge impact when they're built to be a lot more energy efficient, which is better for the environment. So it uses different kinds of energy that don't release as much greenhouse gas pollution, but also retrofitting old buildings. So when we can see that, you know, the main campus building uses a lot more heat by, say, staying at the same temperature all day, even, you know, at 2 a.m. when there's no students here, it stays the same temperature. So why do we need to use that energy to keep the school hot at 2 a.m? That's kind of silly. And so it's working to implement devices that are mechanized so that it can, you know, lower the temperature at a certain time. And so it's kind of looking at all of the issues that are contributing to the problem and seeing where we can trim and where the best use of our money is and in that way.
So you'll be facilitating your own presentations as well throughout the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the first one will be? What, or how you're going to break them up?
We were really very much encouraged to personalize the presentation, because it's obviously hard to give somebody else's presentation and try to, you know, connect with your audience in the same way. And that was really cool about the conference as well. We learned about storytelling, about the power of connecting with your audience on a personal level, not just with facts. And so for my sessions, I think my first one will likely be early October. I really want to get my practice on and really make it a good one. They suggest the first to be with friends and family, just to get kind of the small kinks out of the way with an audience you trust. But I want to kind of incorporate some kind of discussion aspect in the end as well, and not just make it a kind of I talk at a crowd for whatever 45 minutes and then that's over. I'd like to incorporate some kind of roundtable discussion and just seeing what it is that, what are the myths that are still around about climate change, and what kind of what people need to, what the tools people need to be able to come into conversation with somebody who may not believe it's happening, who may not think it's that bad, is to prepare the people who see the presentation to also be able to go out and kind of spread the word.
Right. So, I guess just quickly, what would what's a common myth about climate change?
One of the things is, because the argument comes up often that, well, why should we do anything about it? Because India and China aren't doing anything about it, and they're some of the biggest emitters. And that argument is kind of, when we see that this is a global issue and there are some countries who already have climate change refugees, and it's an issue that we all need to care about, because since greenhouse gas and since heat isn't a local issue, right? It goes through countries' boundaries, and we all need to help. And so if this is the analogy, I forget who made it, but if we're trying to, you know, all the countries are in a bus and the bus breaks down, and only the two people who think, you know, only one person comes out and starts pushing the bus to try to make an effort, what is that going to do if everybody's still on the bus, kind of thing? So we all need to come together and work at it, and we can't just say, oh, it's not our problem, you know.
So any initiatives at the top of your head that are new this year for university students?
There's not any. Because the report was approved just at the end of last term, some of the initiatives haven't been fully rolled out, so we know kind of what's coming in the next few years, but not exactly sure how they'll pan out or how students can get involved. That's one thing that I'm really excited about, is there's definitely room for students to say, hey, I feel like this is an issue at school, I want to help change it. And especially exciting to me is the aspect or the potential for students to do their practicum work, or kind of do work with the campus sustainability office or with different offices in the school that are going to help make those changes and make it part of the academic experience, because we have an environmental studies program here and a number of programs that have to do with the changes we need to make. I feel like there's a really good partnership there.
Okay, so if anybody wants to get involved, they can contact you?
They can contact me, yeah. I'm the Vice President Internal at the University of Winnipeg Students Association, and I'm also the Sustainability Officer for that organization, but we work really closely with the Campus Sustainability Office, and Alana is happy to have students that are eager to help.
Now, O-Week starts today.
Yeah, today.
First day of school, so what's going on?
What's in the works? Well, this morning, right now, we've got Laura, who's our Vice President of Student Services, and our volunteer Kyle, who is they're giving out pancakes right beside the bike lab. So if you're hungry right now, go for it. Then we've got, again, free food this year catered by Diversity at 12:20 for lunch. So we've got hot dogs for lunch. Then we've got Rob Crooks playing today. We've got a huge water balloon fight in the front lawn that has never been seen before for O-Week. And the fun keeps going all week. It's going to be a good one. We've got tomorrow, we've got Animal Teeth playing, and we've got the Great Tricycle Race coming back. So the Great Tricycle Race started in the 70s as a kind of orientation week tradition and ended in like the early 2000s, which is three people on really tiny tricycles trying to race each other.
Do you need your own tricycle?
We've got three tricycles, and we've gotten the bike lab to kind of refurbish them, so they're all ready to go. Yeah. And then Friday, we've got three bands. And we've got Yes We Mystic, Federal Lights, and Scotch and Tape. And then in the evening is Das Racist playing at the Pyramid. And I forgot to mention, on Thursday night as well, we're partnering with the Business and Administration Students Association and bringing the Noble Thieves and Mama Cutsworth to the cheer.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Is there anything that should have touched on concerning the climate talks? Actually, I kind of want to know, just to bring us back here, you met Al Gore.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, I didn't meet him or re-meet him, I guess, in the last few weeks when I was there in San Francisco. The way I got onto this kind of path, or how how I was able to go to the conference, was because last year in November, the general or the manager of the Climate Reality Project Canada, I think he literally just Googled like environment student Winnipeg, and found me. Because I was at the time the environmental ethics director for the UWSA, and he invited me to come to this breakfast. So Al Gore was here for We Day, and then the Climate Reality Project Canada said, well, he's going to be in town, why don't we just invite all of our people from Manitoba who are presenters? And so we all went for this kind of breakfast, and that's when I met Al. He's got a presence that's like, his charisma is kind of undeniable, southern drawl, and just kind of a larger-than-life presence because of everything that he's lived. So that was really cool. And he's a really great storyteller. I think that's where that's where people can follow him on, or create a lot of, or he creates a lot of connection with his crowds through his storytelling, which is something we got firsthand.
Right. Well, I look forward to the changes at the university, that we can see. And I look forward to your presentation.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Do a public one. All right, well, thanks again for coming on. And we're going to play Mama Cutsworth. When is she playing again?
She's playing, I think, tomorrow during the day, and then tomorrow night at the cheer.
All right. Unemployed in Greenland, this is Incredible Bongo Band. All right. Thanks very much.